Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nanna Praja Janaranjana Yashoda Nanna Praja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Banna Chari Jamuna Tira Banna Chari Jaya Ratta Madhavta Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Ballabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nanna Praja Janaranjana Yashoda Nanna Praja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Banna Chari Jamuna Tira Banna Chari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Jaya Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Parvata Kashaya Asa Tata Sota Shishima Jaya Divine Grace Bhagavatam, Canto 3, the chapter of the Lord's pastimes out of Vrindavan. Now we're on text 4. Today is also the disappearance day of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. We'll speak a little bit about that also. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Kakutmino vidha naso damipa. Swayambare nagna jitin uvaha. Tabagna manan apigrid yato gyan. Yagnek shatak shastra britak swar shastrai. Kakumino vidhana so damitva. Swayambare nagna jitim uvaha. Tadbagdad manan api gridhayato gyan. Jagnek shatak shastra britak swashastrai. Please chant. Kukudminaha, bulls whose nose were not pierced. Abhidhanasaha, pierced by the nose. Damitpa, subduing. Swayambare, in the open competition to select the bridegroom. Nagnijitim, Princess Nagnijiti. Uvaha, Mary, Tatbagnamanan, in the way all who were disappointed. Api, even though. Vidyataha, wanted. Agnyanam, the fools. Jagne, killed and wounded. Akshataha, without being wounded. Shastra Britaha, equipped with all weapons. Swashastrai, by his own weapons. Translation. By subduing seven bulls whose noses were not pierced, the Lord achieved the hand of Princess Nagnajiti in the open competition to select her bridegroom. Although the Lord was victorious, his competitors asked the hand of the princess, and thus there was a fight. Well equipped with weapons, the Lord killed or wounded all of them, but he was not hurt himself. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Shrimati Bhakti Vinayaka Swami Namaste Saraswati Deva Acharya Shri 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 Shakti. So we're seeing that the Lord has been trained in different Vedic points, and he went to Dwarka. And I've been to Dwarka a few times, and it's quite a ways. You have to take a train from Mathura, and or else I was in Ahmedabad or Baroda one time, and we drove out there. There's actually a super highway going out there. And but it takes quite a while. You have to go through Rajkot, and we happened to be going when there was the Gujarat riots, and cars were being burned, and it was quite exciting. We had 16 girls with us, arrived in Dwarka and got stuck there because none of the drivers wanted to drive back. But it's quite a ways, and on the highway you see big, huge mountains of cotton. You just kind of want to just dive into them. They're just like big puff balls, huge things. I'm growing cotton, so I can relate to it, how wonderful, what a nice substance it is. Anyway, the Lord is there in Dwarka, and we heard yesterday how he conquered different princes to get Princess Rukmini as a wife, and here we're hearing about, actually in the Krishna book, her name is Sacha. And, okay, I guess I'll eat it for breakfast. The Yadavas used to go to see, they of course missed the Lord, their greatest friend and worshipful object. And so they would travel, I guess by foot or by chariot, all the way from Mathura and Vrindavan, all the way, or from Delhi, Hastinapur, wherever they were, all the way to Dwarka. And so it was quite an event that they would arrive there and get to see their Lord. And then, of course, the men would go off and be with the residents of, with Krishna and all the residents of Dwarka there and tell pastimes and reminisce. And then the women would go off and find the queens and talk to them. And so Draupadi was there one time, and she was in a nice assembly of all the queens, and she was asking them, you know, well, how did you become a queen? And how did you get to marry Krishna? And so there's lots of nice stories. And this one is about King Nagnajit, who I guess had a kingdom somewhere over near that in the western part of India. And he had a beautiful daughter, a princess daughter, Sacha. Here she's called Nagnajiti. And she was of marriageable age, and of course he wanted to get the best for her as a husband. And so he arranged for, as typical of Kshatriyas, they would arrange for Swayamvaras, where, you know, the prince, whoever was worthy, would come and fight or compete against something to attain the hand of the princess. And of course, Krishna, he didn't want to miss out on this, so he heard about the event and went. And the other princes were there, and it ended up to be a competition who could actually subdue these ferocious bulls, seven of them. And bulls are, well, I'll tell you a little bit about bulls in a few minutes. But anyway, so they all attempted. Some of them attempted, and some of them, you know, most of them, their egos were quite crushed because they couldn't do it. Some of them didn't even come out alive, and some of them put their tail between their legs and ran home whimpering and whining because they couldn't subdue the bulls. And many of them got very much hurt by them. And so Krishna said, okay, let me have a turn. Now he has to be careful, because if you remember in the past times in Vrindavan, Krishna, he killed a bull, Aristasura, and he got in big trouble for that. There was a whole thing with the gopis, and they said, you killed a bull, and now you got to do some penance. And then he called the waters, and then they called the waters, and it ended up nice Radhakund and Shyamakund for us to be able to take darshan of. But so he had to be careful that he wasn't going to go kill another bull. So he goes into the ring and he's able to do this. It says here that they didn't have rings in their noses. We have some oxen here that are really hard to train, and we're considering putting rings in their noses. Some people do that. We bought a special chute that we're going to install, and you can put their head in it to keep it still, because it's a very tender area, this little place underneath their nose. Even though they're big, huge animals, if they have a ring in there, you pull on it, and they say, okay, I'll go. And so we're considering doing that soon. But here, they weren't pierced, but somehow or other, it's described that Krishna pierced their noses, I guess with a rope or something. Somehow or other, he was able to get control of them, and therefore, he was definitely had proved himself to be worthy of this princess. And the king was very happy with this. Of course, everyone wants their daughter to be married to Krishna, and every woman wants to be married to Krishna. Even though they never maybe even saw him, they heard about him and were very much attracted. So unfortunately, some of the other princes weren't happy with this situation, and they got very, very jealous and angry, and they attacked Krishna, which has happened, we've heard before. And he ended up having to deal with them accordingly, which wasn't too pleasant, I'm sure. But anyway, so Krishna was able to attain her hand, and the king was very pleased, and he made all this arrangements with all kinds of dowry, you know, so much opulence. Kings had so many things, and they would be glad to give it in as a dowry. And he gave thousands of maid servants. Now, I'm trying to figure out, you know, even having one servant? I mean, what are they going to do all that? I mean, what do you need? What less, 1,000 servants to take care of, you know, this? I can't figure it out. Anyway, so they all went back in procession on chariots and everything. He made all the arrangements to go to Dwarka. And such a Nandajiti, as it's described here, she was actually in a frame of loving service to have a position as a maidservant. She didn't really want to be served. She wanted to serve Krishna personally. And this was her great satisfaction to be able to do this. And Krishna is very thoughtful, so it was arranged that I guess she would do some kind of menial service, but at the same time, they had that intimate relationship. Krishna's expert with time and circumstance. So many queens were fought over, and Krishna had to, you know, show his strength and prowess. I don't know that if someone fought over me to marry me, I mean, or shed some blood or showed such courage, I would be pretty impressed. So Krishna was able to really impress these ladies and to win their hearts. Right now in the Kali Yuga, of course, there's not really any kshatriyas anymore, and they don't have that ability to you know, maybe kidnap, but not nicely kidnap ladies. And so I was in New Dwarka in Los Angeles one time. Prabhupada was there, and Prabhupada was discussing how the men would actually go and fight and prove their chivalry to and kill the other opponent, actually kill the opponent. And then Prabhupada said, then they would take the blood and put it in the part of the lady's hair. That's why ladies put this red kumkum down their part to show that they've been taken. And Prabhupada said, so we should start this process? You're good with this, Prabhupada said. And everyone goes, oh, you know, no. You see that mood, that kshatriya mood is, you know, not really there. I mean, how many of you would jump in with a bunch of wild bulls to get your wife? I don't think there would be many takers on that. I really don't. But it would be quite something. You would definitely feel protected by that husband and cared for. And And so much for the losers. I mean, I guess they're real losers, because most of them would lose their life. So Kali Yuga, there's really not even any training for kshatriyas. On a Varnashram walk, Prabhupada was discussing the different orders of life and saying that we should establish this. He was very firm that we should establish this different sections of society with the Brahmins, the leaders, and the kshatriyas, and the sudras, and the vaishyas. And he said he wanted a Varnashram college. And I remember Hridayananda Maharaj was saying, yes, we should do it right away. He says it should be for the kshatriyas and for the Brahmins. Unfortunately, we've never established that. Something that Prabhupada told us to do. And now there's no training for these managers, which are the kshatriyas, the managers. And for the Brahmins, we have brahminical training, but nothing for kshatriyas. Now, as has been predicted, in Kali Yuga, the men are taking women's positions, the women are taking men's positions, everything's topsy-turvy, and the qualifications just aren't there anymore. And that's one thing that we should really consider getting together in our society. Because Prabhupada said that sometimes, although the kshatriyas mainly were managers, they also would have to come up at a time when there was fighting and come forward and protect. And Prabhupada said that we might see that in our lifetime. So also in Kali Yuga, more women are born because we're lustier. So it ends up there's more women, little girls born than little boys. And so therefore, Prabhupada also, I remember hearing him say that, so, you know, now you have just one man marrying one lady, and there's so many more ladies, and every lady should be married, so he said, you figure it out. You know, so that's a problem also. So a little bit about bulls and oxen. I mean, bulls are very, very aggressive at times. I was talking to Devaki. She has been taking care of the cows here for as long as I can remember. When she came here, there was one bull that they had bought. His name was Dharma. He was an Indian bull. He was the only one anywhere around here. They didn't have any, you know, humpback, you know, Indian bulls around here. And he had about 6 progeny, and she knew the name of every single one. She could remember that far back. And I was showing her some pictures in the barn yesterday. We had a field trip of kids come over. And she knew, there's a picture of the out here on the road, and we used to have teams of oxen at work. And we used to have two or three teams of 4 oxen each working out here plowing the land. Cars would be stopped. I'm wondering, wow, what is this? Are they big pigs? What are they, you know? And it was quite a show. There's an article from the Gainesville Sun that we have out in the barn. And they're not, of course, oxen are more or less trained. They're not bulls. They've been castrated, so they're a little bit calmer. But still, they're quite difficult to maneuver. If you have tried to feed our oxen over here, they're very, you know, they push and they push and they push, and they'll, you know, they can do some damage. So please be careful when you try to feed the oxen over here. I know that Ruchira has said that they have a bull. They have a bull, and they have to keep it completely separate unless they want to have more cows. And she says that they are ready to do their service at 6 months. They're ready and fired up, and so they have to completely separate them very early because they're that aggressive. And I remember seeing Ruchira's son come in here sometimes with bandages, and it was always because of the bull, you know. So they are something that even Prabhupada said that you should never turn your back on a horned animal. Prabhupada himself was gored by a bull, so he always gave that instruction. In Gita Nagar, we used to have a bull. His name, I think, was Bhima, and he was solid state. I mean, he was huge, big thing, and they used to keep him on a really short chain so that he couldn't do anything. I think actually he strangled himself after quite a few years, which is a shame. I've been to our temple outside of Madrid a few times, and they always take me downtown. There's a little city right next town, and she always says that that's one of those towns where they close off the streets and the bulls run down, and the people, the stupid fools that think they can outrun bulls, they run in front and go, ha, 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 and then they end up, you know, flying in the air or losing, you know, getting gored. I've seen it on TV and stuff. Crazy. Put yourself in there with a bunch of wild animals, and what do you want? I mean, you know, get your head on. I was in Hyderabad, and Prabhupada was waiting for us at a man's home, and he asked us to do Nagar Sankirtan through the city all the way up to this man's home who owned a sweet shop, and his name was Reddy, I remember. And so it was April, it was very hot, it was 120-something, and so we did Nagar Sankirtan in the streets. And sure enough, you know, all of a sudden everyone scatters and runs, and there's a bull loose, and they usually kind of wander in the streets and nibble on some of the produce here and there, and everyone has a little stick and tries to get rid of them. But this one got really angry and was flipping the carts up in the air, I remember. And, you know, got to keep your distance from these animals. They're definitely not of our category. But Krishna, he wasn't afraid. He goes in there, and he is described that he was playing with them like toys. You know how you can take a stuffed animal and do anything what you want with it. He was just doing that with these bulls. So this is our hero. There was one other story that Dina Banda told me. He had been in South America for quite a while as president down there, and he ran into one sannyasi. I don't remember the name. Spanish sannyasi, who actually at one time was a matador. And he was on Sankirtan one day, and they were crossing a bridge of some sort, and he gets about halfway, and there's a bull coming towards him. And he's thinking, this is my karma coming towards me. And what he had to do ultimately was to jump off the bridge and hold his hands like this, hanging off the bridge. And the animal came up and just looked right down on him. And he was thinking, all right, I'm working it off. I'm working off this, my bad karma. So, yeah, there's lots of stories like that. Balaram, our Balaram here, I don't know if he has a plow today, but sometimes he has a plow. And Prabhupada said that Balaram is our farmacharya. And he's in charge of the oxen, of plowing the fields. Whenever I'm in Mayapur, I go back into the villages and hang out there and see how they live. And I was there and I noticed this plow leaning against a tree. Literally, it's as tall as that door. Because they hook them on and they hook them onto the thing and they dig it. It's not like you just can throw it over your shoulder. Usually a few men have to carry it. They're big, and Balaram, of course, I'm sure could just throw it over his shoulder. We have little miniature ones here, but a real plow is at least as tall as that door, and the bottom is about as wide as the door. It's a very big, huge thing. Balaram, he can handle anything. So here we see that the cows are very important in Vedic culture. Here they're being used for a marriage ceremony, but they were always around. Cows and bulls and oxen were very much seen. And I know that I've been to Vrindavan for many, many years, and every morning, if you're behind the temple, you'll see one oxen. Like, he's probably an ox, but he comes and he brings the cart full of milk from the Goshala. It is the most satisfying thing to see, that this animal, I don't even know if anyone even there, even driving him, he knows the route so well, he can just go, and he comes and he brings the big cans of milk that right just from around the corner we have the goshala. It's so nice. Prabhupada would be so pleased to see us using the animals and bringing in the milk. And such a simple life and such a rich, wonderful substance that the cows give and that the oxen can use and are used to bring it. So this is a simple life that Prabhupada really, really dreamt that we would establish here. He said that, you know, farm life is not idle life. It actually should be ideal life. So much so that everyone else will want to come and be part of it. He said, and especially in America, if you make this ideal life come to life, then the whole world will follow. So that's a little bit of Prabhupada's view of it. So we've heard that Krishna had some education, and here we see that he was also expert in dealing with these bulls. He's always showing us what a hero he can be and how wonderful he can be and expert at everything. And he fulfilled the lady's desires, and we'll see next week 1,000 queens he married who were desiring so much to have him as their husband. So Krishna, of course, is all attractive. And these ladies were attracted just by hearing about him. Never seen him, but just by hearing. So we should also hear as much as possible, and maybe our hearts will become attracted. But the main secret of these queens is that they were hankering and lamenting, desiring so strongly to have Krishna as their husband that desire was fulfilled. And there's one person who was expert in lamenting and desiring to have the service of the Supreme Lord, and that is Narottam Das Thakur. And he displayed this in his books and his songs, and we can benefit by hearing a little bit about him. I won't go through his whole life, but his today is his disappearance day, and it's a very nice day to sing his bhajans. Narottam Das Thakur was actually gifted with prema bhakti, with the highest love of God. We're all sadhana bhaktis. We're studying, we're trying to learn how to become devotees. We're aspiring devotees, trying to learn the basics, having a regulated life. And gradually we'll get purified and hopefully we'll obtain that. But Narottam Das Thakur, he achieved this just out of Krishna's, Lord Chaitanya's mercy. You remember the story how he was, you know, chanting Narottam, and everyone was wondering who was this Narottam, and he went to the Padmavati River and told the river that I'm putting the love of God in this river, and there's someone who's Narottam is going to come here, and you bestow that upon him. And so he was gifted with this highest prema, and he was picked out so that he could become an instrument of preaching this bhakti. And he did that. He was very successful. His teachings are there, and his songs are there. And of course, we have his bhajans and some of his writings. Kishore Das Babaji, he was asked one time, how do I get love of God? Where, how do I purchase this love of God? And Gaurakishore Das Babaji said, you have 5 annas, that's a type of money, very little, it's like change, pocket change. He said, you go to the market and you buy 2 books and you can have love of God. And those books are Prarthana and Sri Krishna Bhakti Chandrika. And these are the 2 books that Narottam Das left us, and other works, I'm sure. But these 2 books are full of instructions, valuable instructions on how to develop this bhakti from our very beginning states. And he always demands that we first go get love for Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. And so all of his books are, yes, Lord Chaitanya. And at the end, yes, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda's mercy. Very, very powerful instructions. You can't study them enough. They're very small books, so you can, you know, but so much is in them, giving us an idea of what it's like to develop gradually this love, and how important it is to hanker for that. Prabhupada said in a purport that his books, everything that he's written and said, is good as scripture. So it's just like the Vedas. So you can relish them equally, because they're authentic realizations. He had that love of God that he got from Lord Chaitanya. So everything that he said was authentic. He was a self-realized soul, and he expresses it so nicely. Like here's I'll read you. It's so poetic too. This is just one of the verses. It says, "All the residents of Vrindavan floated tonight in the heavy rain of divine loving mellows. Sri Krishna is showering the condensed nectar flow of love, and the sporting of Sri Radhika is causing the lightning. The paths become slippery due to ecstatic love as they walked in a crooked way. The land of Vrindavan was mixed with red paste, sandalwood paste, and musk, and thus the ground became muddy. The ocean of love expanded in all directions, and Narottam Das has drowned in that ocean, not knowing how to swim." How poetic, yeah. How wonderful this is. Definitely worth reading and absorbing. Most of his songs and writings had like three parts to them. First of all would be the submission, expressing that we have to really submit to Lord Chaitanya. We have to really give our hearts out. And so this submission is such an important part. It's the beginning. It's the beginning, just like to submit ourselves to the Guru is such an important part. It's the initiation. It's the beginning of our love for Krishna. So he always expresses that in his prayers. And then the second is that he makes it known that I am so fallen, that I am insignificant, that I'm unworthy. In that way, one can receive, can absorb, if you're thinking in that humble way. So that's also there in every song. And then the last is the intense yearning to have a specific service for Krishna or for the gopis or for Radharani. And he expresses that. It gets a little intense. Some of the songs are so intimate because he actually expresses his personal desire. He reveals it. I want to comb Radharani's hair. I want to help the gopis do this. It's kind of a little too intimate for me to understand. But lamentation and that hankering is there for the heart to strengthen it and to get it more absorbed in Krishna. And Narottam Das Thakur, he actually displayed this life of spiritual life. He didn't have a material life. He really had no material life. He lived with hardly anything. He rejected his material life very early in his life. And he didn't really have anything material. He just was completely absorbed. He didn't want any material distractions. And that's what we should ultimately be like. Maybe when we get a little older and can't do anything, hopefully, we'll just not want anything material, but just everything spiritual. But he actually achieved that and expresses it in his books. So he shared this mood, and that was the thing. He was such a powerful agency for Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He distributed the books, he preached to people, he initiated people, he read books, he left songs. So this was, we should follow in his footsteps and become that agency. Figure out what Srila Prabhupada wants us to do. Let us become that vessel that we can give to Prabhupada, and what can we do in this lifetime? It's very short. We've got a few little talents here or there, whatever we can do, you know, use me. And so we should follow in those footsteps. Another thing that Narottam Das contributed was that when he was, he lived a long time in Vrindavan, and near the end of his life, his spiritual master asked him to go to Keturi, which is back in the Bengal area, and to establish deities, five Krishna deities, and I can't remember what other deities. And so he went back there, and he decided to call for a big festival to reunite all the Vaishnavas and the associates of whatever who was left, because Lord Chaitanya had left quite a while ago. So he arranged for it to be on Lord Chaitanya's appearance day. So it was like the first big Gaur Purnima day. And he established a whole place for them to come. He personally wrote invitations. He couldn't send out emails or anything. He had to have people had to go deliver them, the invitations. And his parents were very wealthy. And so there was a big inheritance that he had. And so he used all that money to construct like a whole village of cottages that all these people could stay in. And he had them dig ponds for bathing. And hundreds of people started coming, and then thousands of people started coming. And he was able to take care of all of them. He had the help of Srinivas and Santosh to greet them all and to make sure that they're all happy. And a special person was Janava Mata, Nichananda's consort. And so she was very much respected. And the whole, what I can picture is that he did this to reunite the Vaishnavas and of course to glorify Lord Chaitanya, but also to serve the Vaishnavas. That was his mood, that he wanted to glorify and respect all of them, which is such an important part of devotional service. And so he did that in a grand way. And just like we have the Holy Name Festival coming up, it's a multi-day festival. This was also a multi-day festival. And in the night before, they had big kirtan, just like we do here. We have kirtan at different people's homes coming up to the big festival. And so he would have the best kirtaniya persons come with all their instruments and all the singers and everything, and all great Vaishnavas, all those people that were missing Lord Chaitanya were coming together. And then they had the installation the next day, and then they had the bathing ceremonies and everything, and then Narottam Das Thakur took the lead, and he started a kirtan. And he started a new type of kirtan. They had the normal kirtan like we always do, but this he began with, it's called Leela Kirtan, where he would actually sing stories. He would sing stories mixed with the kirtan. And supposedly, I guess some people still remember how it was done, but probably not anything like it was originally done by Narottam Das Thakur. So this was a great contribution to the reestablish the strength of the Lord Chaitanya's movement, keep it going nicely. And so we can thank him for that. And maybe in the spiritual world we get to run into Narottam Das Thakur and get to hear his kirtans, which would be a wonderful thing. Here's a little bit. These are eight prayers by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and they're glorifying Narottam Das Thakur. Really nice. So I can end with this. If I can find it.
What book are you reading from?
This is from Sri Prema Bhakti Chandrika. Here's just one little sample of one of the instructions in the books. I'll read the eight verses by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. These are two Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Again and again, I offer my obeisances under Srila Narottam Das Thakur. He is indeed a true follower of Lord Gauranga Dev. From his lotus mouth showers the nectar of Sri Krishna's name, which emanates the wonderful effulgence that destroys all the ignorance. Again and again, I offer my obeisances unto Srila Narottam Das Thakur. He smiles slightly being absorbed in the bliss of chanting the holy names. His teeth illuminate all directions. Currents of ecstatic tears constantly bathe his face. Again and again, I offer my obeisances under Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Just by hearing the sounds of Madanga, his feet begin dancing. This captures one's mind, giving such pleasure that one's hair stands on end. Again and again, I offer my obeisances under Srila Narottam Das Thakur. His dancing is so beautiful that it conquers the pride of the Gandharvas and amazes the assembly of all expert dancers and singers. Srila Narottam Das Thakur has thus initiated his own style of singing and playing the mridanga called Manohar Sahi. Again and again, I offer my obeisances under Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Sometimes in ecstasy, he falls unconscious to the ground. Thus his effulgent body wears the dust as a decoration. Only by the greatest fortune may one obtain this divine sight. Again and again, I offer my obeisances under Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Wherever his mercy flows, it will completely uproot the thirst for anything other than Krishna and all the people assembled there. Again and again, I offer my obeisances under Srila Narottam Das Thakur. His faith and steadiness of devotion is as strong as a rock. His touch transforms like the philosopher's stone. His words are as good as the words of scriptures. Again and again, I offer my obeisances under Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Whenever pious people see him, they begin to think, is he an embodiment of devotion? Is he the incarnation of renunciation in the world? A person who is absorbed in the ocean of pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna should read these eight prayers aloud. And by doing so, he will certainly reach the same abode attained by Srila Narottam Das Thakur himself. By Srila Narottam Das Thakur's glance, even such qualities as unlimited anger will be pacified. Let his beautiful limbs, the shine of his teeth, his lotus-like face, his slight smile, and his dancing be manifested in my heart. My request is that he bestows upon me his personal service. Srila Narottam Das Thakur ki jai. Any questions or additions? Yes?
Narottam Das Thakur in the spiritual world, what is his personality?
I don't know, maybe somebody knows. I would imagine a Manjari, but Pindrik, do you know? I don't know. He's always hankering to be serving with the Manjaris. I know that in his prayers, if you read them, study, maybe you can figure it out. Anything else? Okay.
Yeah,
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.